Extreme PC UK.
Why, hello everybody, and welcome to episode 209 for the second time of Extreme PC UK podcast. I'm your host, Nicholas Hernandez, Extreme PC UK, all over the place. And today on the show we have
GregGamer25. Here I am, and back for 209 part two, something like that. What happened to Trainspotting?
He's just slowly erecting himself.
You see, look. He's appearing.
He's appearing into the frame.
Erecting, Trainspotting, Trev, reporting for duty. What else did I do? The Trekway for Star Trek on the YouTubes and the podcasts.
That's right.
Hello.
Welcome in. For anyone that didn't understand what was going on there, Trev's got an erecting table, which makes him really small and he can stand up. So what he'd done is he just slowly came in with it. Slowly
called an entrance, people. It's called making an entrance. Okay.
Yeah, but hype train incoming.
The podcast is for sound.
Hype train incoming.
Oh, we got a hype train.
I don't know. It's incoming. I don't know if that means it's coming or whether
it's going pretty crazy at the beginning because of we haven't done a podcast for a little while. So
there it goes.
Mine isn't due until tomorrow, Nick. That's annoying as well. But
cheers for all the subs, people. Wow, Irish Guardian.
Cheers for the train.
Lord. There was Al. There was a few more in the beginning as well. Ruthless. Thank you, everybody. I just wanted to say, first off, is that I'm sorry there's been no podcast. Loads of stuff's been going on. We've been thinking a lot about the podcast, haven't we, boys?
But you make more money if you're off for a couple of weeks.
Not necessarily. but we've been away. And what we're going to do, just a nice guy, subscribe as well. Thank you, dude. So there hasn't been a podcast. I just want to say sorry to everybody for that. We are going to try and keep it up. We've been talking about maybe changing the name of the podcast to make it more all gaming rather than, because obviously Extreme PC UK was about building like high-end PCs. That's sort of changed now. I still do it every now and then, but I'm not really into it as much as I was. I want to try and make it more about all of the Discord and just the gaming side of it. That's what I like. That's what you guys like. That's what everyone likes. That's what the Discord's about. I was thinking about changing it to something just like Extreme Gaming or something.
I've got a suggestion. ExtremeTrainspottingTrev.co.uk or Extreme Grey. In fact, I like Extreme Grey.
Extreme Grey. There you go.
To be fair, they both sound like the most boringest names. Extreme Grey. Grey is dull. Yeah.
He is extreme. How many
train
60
spotting Trev? Train spotting.
How do you know other, how many 66-year-olds do you know that are as mad, immature, funny, and as bonkers as him? He is extreme great.
That's true.
There's hardly anybody.
And that's another thing. You just reminded me, because we all missed it nearly once. It was Gray's birthday this week. He was 66.
Yesterday. You don't look a day
Happy
over 65,
birthday.
Mate.
That's right. It's just the hair kind of gives it away a little bit, you know, hey. But you know what we should do? It would be funny if we did Extreme Gray as one of the special shows or something like that. And then you guys got to gray your hair. I already got gray. And then you gray your hair. That's true. Just gray yourself up and then it'll be great.
Just a nice guy came in straight away with, let's talk about my favorite game, Elite Dangerous. Is Elite Dangerous actually your favorite game still or not? I don't know. Ruthless, thank you for them bits.
Extremely old gamers.
Extreme PC gaming. But the thing is, it's not just PC gaming anymore. We will talk about this later on because obviously we've opened up to like consoles, retro, all sorts. There's only one thing we don't take here, and that's mobile. And that's just Gray on his own.
Yeah, that's wrong. That's just wrong, mobile. Just wrong,
we don't want any mobile gamers.
Nah.
I play a little bit, but not that much.
Cat's just come in and said Nick just wants to stream just because he wants to talk about the new Star Citizen news. I actually haven't got that on there today. I've been playing quite a lot of games. Even though I haven't done a podcast for like 3 weeks, there is a valid reason as well why the gap's been so big. And that is because me being an absolute dickhead, because I was playing Euro Truck Simulator on stream where we play music, I had to keep turning my VODs off. Then we recorded episode 209 2 weeks ago and got to the end of the podcast 2.5 hours in and realised that I'd switched off the VODs, so I had no recording, so I couldn't turn it into a podcast. So we all sat there, all three of us. I went, boys, I'm really sorry, but didn't record that. And then these two's mouths hit the floor. And then we have to take a break
out there,
for another week after that because we were so stressed.
If anybody out there made a recording, let Nick know.
that would have been good. So we are back. we've got a lot of games to talk about. Like I said before, we're going to try and keep it where we talk about a lot of games. We're happy to have like people come on now. Like I said before, there's no holding us back. We can do whatever we want. There's nothing tying us down to any certain things. So we're just going to wing it and have fun. Right, let's get into this then. So the first thing I want to talk about this week, which is in our
first
points, I am highly addicted to Sea of Thieves. Now,
he used to slag it, I remember.
No.
You did. You never went back to it. You slagged it.
No.
You did. No. Shell, where are you?
I'm not having it. So when Sea of Thieves came out, I played it quite a lot. I played it with Shell and Prophet, and we played quite a lot about of it. And basically what happened is it got to the point where there was not much to do in the game. You just go around, dig up treasure chests and move around. And come on, Trev, what did you think of it back then?
From what you're telling me just now briefly, and I know you'll tell me more, there is a big difference between back then and now. Not to say that it was crap back then.
No,
it was.
You,
there was still a decent amount
to do. What was
I enjoyed it.
What did you do in game?
I don't really like the PvP stuff. I like going on adventures and looking for treasure. And the forts, the skull forts, I like them as well. They were a challenge. So
he's too old to remember. That's the problem.
He's too old to remember. So basically, since then, I was on the same page as you were, Trevor. I liked the game. It was a bit of fun for four players. And you'd go around, dig up treasure, use treasure maps, go do forts and stuff like that. But they've got so much more in the game now. Like, literally, it used to be that you'd have three different types of stuff, which would be gold hoarders, which is where you can basically go and you can look for gold. And if you go under the emissary of gold, which gives you a bonus for a gold hoarder. Sorry?
Gold horse.
Gold hoarder.
Gold hoarders. This is your perverted
mind. Not a gold whore, gold hoarder.
Ah, sorry, my apologies.
So you had gold hoarders, you had the merchant, and you had Order of Souls, which is, remember when you kill the pirates, you get a little skull?
Yeah,
and you'd hand them in. Now, I still haven't got to Pirate Legend. When you get all three of them to 50, you get Pirate Legend.
It's very hard, mate.
I'm not far away. I've got 53, 52, and 38 in Merchant, so I'm nearly there. But the thing is, I got out of the game because I found it a bit repetitive. Kept going back and sailing around and digging up treasure, digging up this, doing that. And it was just getting a bit too much and of the same, and I got bored of it. And that was a long time ago. And then people carried on playing it, and I was like, oh, this game is just like, it's a good game, but there's just not much in it. The water's amazing. Like, you've got to admit, the water's amazing. You love it. I know you do. You want to swim in it.
They keep updating it for free as well, and that's always a good test of a game.
Yeah, well, it's got Season Pass now. I've bought the Season Pass. And the thing is, the Season Pass is a bit different to all the other Season Passes on games, because on them, you sort of get every 10 levels, you'll get one freebie or something. But on this Season Pass, they've done it the opposite way around. So you get all the freebies, but every 10 you get an extra one. So you get like a lot more coins and stuff. Ruthless says, is it co-op? Is he talking about... Oh, he's talking about
Days Gone. I think if it stays gone...
Oh, we'll get to that in a minute. Just remember that. So basically, I went back into the game because apparently there's been a lot added to it. But the main reason I went back is because they brought this new thing in called guilds, where you can buy your own ship. So where you used to be able to, you know, you used to like do your character up. So you do like your beard, you do your hair, clothes and all that. Now what you can do is you can actually buy your own ship. So you could buy multiple ships. So you could have a sloop, you could have a brigantine, I think it's called, and you could have a galleon. Then what you can do is put them in game and you can kit them all out. So not only could you do the hull, the sails and that, you can now do the whole, like, you know, the captain's quarters. You could change all the carpets, you could change the bed, the table, the books. You could put trinkets all around. So if you do tall towers, which are like stories within game, you can get rewards, which are trophies to put in your boats. When people come aboard, they can see what you've done. And there's just loads and loads of stuff like that to do. But not just that, they've added so many more stuff in. So with the guild as well, we've now got a team, which is our guild, and it's called Extreme Peace UK. So if anyone is in Sea of Thieves, you can have 24 people on a guild. And everybody can put their boats into a pot, basically. So say Grey comes on tomorrow. Whoever's in the guild with Grey, he can pick any one of our boats and he can sail around in our boats and level up our guild. And we will level up together, even if we're not in game. It will level that guild up. And then so everyone's boat that's in the guild will get like an upgrade on their boat to their plaque, saying Extreme PC UK for the guild that they're in. Which, it's like a different dynamic because it now means that, like, Jesse downstairs... I've been playing my son and that, and he's like, look, use my boat tomorrow, because you unlock loads of stuff for each boat. You unlock it as a captain, you unlock it for a boat. And it's like, there's just so many layers now of what you can do. I haven't even got into any of the new stuff yet.
Is that the main reason then, just to have your own boat so you can like put your own stuff in it and trophies and whatnot? Because like, I don't see the big fuss of having your own boat. You always get given a boat, and it's always
it's like owning your own ship in Starfield. Yeah. No, there is and other things.
There is more to it though. So if you get a normal boat and you just play with that boat, you can put your stuff on it and you can go out in it. If you use a gilded boat, which you've got your own, when you become a captain of a ship, you can go and buy captained missions. So instead, when you go into game, you normally run into like the little town and you find the little tents and that, and you take a mission, you buy one from him, you go back to the boat, you put it on. Now, once you've got a captain ship and it's really cool, you can go, you know where the boat's parked up on like the jetty?
Yeah.
You can go to a woman on there and you can buy all of your missions in bulk. You can buy all your cannonballs, food, fruit, everything. You can buy all of it there. You can change your ship there and save your ship there. And then when you go out and you've done your like Sea of Thieves robbing and looting and stuff, you remember how you used to come back into port and then you'd all have to grab
and
a
shit
chest.
Yourself. You'd yeah, shit yourself.
And you'd have
trying
to run
to
backwards
it.
And forwards to all the different tents. Yeah, do you remember? So if you've got a captain ship, you can park up at a different port, like a different area around the other side. You pull up against the wood and there's a big tent up in the air. And what you do is one of you jump, you move all your gear to the front of the boat. And as you park up, someone goes up the ladder and they get a harpoon gun. They harpoon all the treasure off of your ship and it goes onto a little ledge. Then the ledge
it's
comes
very
down.
Cool looking.
Yeah, the ledge comes down and then you can just sell it straight to that one person.
Yeah, I kind of like, I know this sounds crazy, I kind of like, I just complained about it a moment ago and it sounded negative, but I like that edge that you had to run to a certain point and you were scared to sell your treasure in case someone actually killed you. So if you found a way around it,
they may buff it out.
We
was doing all of this the other day and a galleon just comes piling into the side of us, smashes us up, throws firebombs all over us. Because once your ship sinks, all that loot just floats to the top and they can just gather it all up.
You can lose it all. I had fun because we kept on putting our treasure up on the piece. Nick was telling me, put it up on the front. I didn't realize that you could harpoon it. All of a sudden, I see them harpooning it off of our ship. And I'm going like, oh, okay. So I go crawling up there and what do? And Matt harpoons me and all of a sudden I'm on the island. And
you can harpoon yourself.
It was great. It was like, wow, where the hell did I get here? You don't get killed, you just get pulled over.
There's just so much more in the game now. Like, where I felt like before it was like, oh, you pick a gold hoarder. Oh, yeah, we're going to go and dig up treasure. You pick the...
The merchant stuff's boring. Like, you have to go and like get spices and chickens and animals. That just bored the hell out of me.
So that's merchant.
I've never done that.
Yeah, there's a lot more than that.
So on merchant, I'm only on level 38. I need to get to level 50. And then
that's why, because it's not as interesting.
No, but the thing is, it is interesting now.
For you.
So, whereas before, it wasn't that interesting, now they give you multiple missions. You've got one mission where you get a piece of map, and on that map, it shows you, like, blacked-out islands, and then it shows you a line through the islands, and what's happened is, somewhere along that route, a ship has been sunk, and there could be, like, five ships sunk there, and then what you have to do is you have to go there, you have to find the shipwreck by the clues. When you find the shipwreck, you all got to go swimming down. And when you get down there, there could be five boats and you've got to go through all the boats looking for the captain's key, find the captain's key, finding loot all over the boats. And then you have to go to the boat that's got the locked door. You can open up the captain's door and then there'll be all loot in that room on his pirate ship. And that adds to it as well. You've got one where you can go to a certain place, a seaport, and you can pick up like crates of like drinks and plants. You have to deliver them somewhere else. Or you can get one where you have to go and collect all the chickens, pigs, and all that sort of stuff.
I got a pig, and I put him in a crate, and then I brought him aboard, and he started squealing. And then Nick's going, you got to feed him when he squeals. Like, okay.
But me and Tilly, me and my daughter, she's 11, so she's been playing it with me, and we'd done one of these missions, and it was something like, get one golden pig, get four
a golden pig.
Wait a minute, I didn't have a golden pig.
No, it had
what
like
golden
a,
pig?
What are you feeding to that pig?
It has like a brown stripe through the middle of it. Anyway, that's not the important part of this conversation.
Of course it is. Golden pigs are cool.
So then there's like, it's like pick up 4 pink ones, 4 black, and put 4 spotted, 2 snakes, 1 red, 1 blue, and a chicken, golden chicken. Anyway, so we go around all these islands, yeah, me and Tilly, and she's loving this. She's gone and got her own paper pad book, yeah, and she's written down all the different types we need to get, and she started ticking them off as we're doing them. And then I've gone through a thunderstorm to take a shortcut on the way back, and we got hit by lightning.
Oh, no.
And then a boat came out of the water and started firing cannons at us. One hit the back of the boat, and it literally killed all the animals, and she was devastated.
There is a downside to all these missions you can buy in bulk. You can be a little bit too greedy and try and do too many at once and then have too much treasure on your boat, and then you are sticking out like a sore thumb. What's the other thing, Nick? What's the thing? You can get some extra bonus thing if you put a particular little... Yeah. It's a mini flag at the top.
Yeah, so that's an
everyone
emissary.
Knows in the map. Emissary, but you get more for it when you cash your stuff in, don't you? But
so say you've got all the different types of missions. So you've got gold... I'll just stick with the main three before I talk about other stuff. So you've got Gold Hoarders, Merchant Alliance, and Order of Souls. One's gold you dig up. One's like goods, moving goods around like a courier sort of thing. And one's like killing bad pirates and taking their skulls and selling them. Now... If you want to get a bonus, so say at the moment, I'm already level 50 on Order of Souls and Gold Hoarders, so I need to do Merchant Alliance. So what I can do now is I can go to that place, pay for a license, I think it's like 20 grand in-game, and then I can work for the emissary of the merchant. So basically, I put a flag up to say I'm working for Merchant Alliance. And what happens is anything that's Merchant Alliance, you'll get a big bonus on. So when I sell it, I'll get double the profit and double the reward for that category. And what happens is every time we would bring something to do with Merchant Alliance, so say we find some sugar, a box of sugar, yeah? We bring that on board, our little Merchant Alliance ticker will go up a little bit. And every time we do something, it will go up a bit more, a bit more, a bit more. And when it gets to level 5, everyone on the map can see that you're at level 5. So you're on the map as a flag. Anyone knows you're level 5. They know you've got a lot of goods on you. They can come and attack you. And it's funny because we did it 2 days ago with Gold Hoarders, and we had like 3 different boats attacking us. And we was like, what's going on? And we didn't realize we'd reached the maximum. Once you've got that level 5, you can take it back and you can actually claim. You can sell all the gear and you can claim some higher value emissary missions. So once you get to level 5, go back to a port and that emissary will actually have more missions for you, which are a higher level, and they come up with a flag on them. And you can do more and more like that. And it's just a way of getting a bonus. Now, one of the main things that I went back to the game for was because they've got the guilds. Now, you can actually be an emissary of your own guild. So you're making your guild levels go up higher as a bonus with everything you do. We haven't done this yet. It's something we want to do when we get to level 50. But there's just so much more in the game. So, like, now we've got the forts and we've got fortresses. So when you go to a fortress... You park your boat up. It's like a concrete like castle. You go in. There's loads of phantoms, like green ghosts.
So that's different from a fort, Nick, isn't it?
Fort is with the skeleton forts, and that's where you have the skeletons, and you get into the treasure room. You've done that before.
Yeah.
I don't know when the fortresses came in, if they came in recently or those in before, but you pull up and you kill, like, say, I don't know, 30 to 50 like phantoms, and then a boss will appear. And when you'll find...
30 to 50?
Or something, it might be 20 to 50, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think it's 50. But the boss comes up, and that's fun.
But what happens is you go up through the rooms, and you have to open all the cupboards and that, and you have to look for a key. When you get the key, it'll open up you can open up the top treasure door, and then there's loads of treasure in a room. You put that out. Then more will spawn in, and then a boss will spawn in. When you kill the boss, he drops a key, and you can go down into the basement, into the treasury, and it's a whole room full of loot. And then what you do is you all take the loot out and you put it on the boat. And literally, I'm talking, you could have 50 grand worth of loot in there. Like, you could be having like 20 chests.
Is that harder than a fort?
No, they're relatively easy. It's just
different.
It's just how you do it. Okay. And it's just if you come under attack from other players. You've got
a Megalodon.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Meg.
We had one of those.
Yeah. But there's
when
so
I was
much,
playing with Nick.
There's so much in the game now that there's always something happening. So if it's not a Megalodon you're finding, it's a Kraken. If it's not a Kraken, you're in a storm. If you're not in a storm, you've got pirate ships that now pop up next to you. And
love the pirate ships.
You've got different types. You've got like the pirate ships with the skeletons on, but you've also got a galleon pirate ship now that will pop up.
God. I haven't seen that one.
You've got alliances, so you can ally. You can have an ally with another group of real players, and you both put flags on your ship that are the same, and then you share treasure. So if I come across Gray and his boat with his four players, I can go, look, don't kill us, we'll have an alliance. And we have an alliance, and then when we sell, they get the money as well.
But how do you make an alliance?
You just put your flag up, a certain one, and they put the same flag up, and then you can have three boats or four boats into the same alliance. So you could go around as a crew, which is like really good because then you don't kill each other and stuff.
I've got a question for you, Nick. If you wanted to play solo on a sloop, right? The one that's designed for
one, two,
two man.
Yeah.
If you're just one person on that sloop, how would you play the game? Because you can do a lot of stuff yourself, but if you're in a fight, you can't do both because you can't fire, harpoon, repair, and sail at the same. It's impossible. You'd have to run.
So on a sloop, this is the way it works. On a sloop, to my knowledge anyway, on a sloop, if you've got the wind behind you, nothing can catch you on a sloop. So if a galleon comes after you and the wind's behind you in your sail, you can always get away. Mm, so you've got the speed.
That's good.
Yeah. If a galleon's behind you, and that's got the wind in its sails, that can catch up with you because it's got more sails. If you turn your sloop into the wind, you're faster than the galleon is into the wind. So
turn it into the wind? That doesn't make sense, but okay.
Yeah, so obviously, because the galleon's got three big sails. So if the galleon's got the wind in its sails, it's got more wind pushing it forward, so it's faster than the sloop. But if the sloop's clever and it turns into the wind, the galleon's big and heavy and slow and it has no wind, but the little sloop can get away because it's faster. Okay. So there are ways to tactics to learn how to get your boat out of trouble, into trouble.
You have to be sneaky, don't you?
Yeah, when you get a Megalodon come up, as long as you get into the wind and you disappear, the Megalodon won't hit you that much. You can fix it the one time it gets you, maybe. If you're not smart about how you're floating around, then that's how you're going to get caught out, basically. But what I do is, if I'm in a group of us, we will just go around the map, grab a couple of missions for what we're trying to do. And if we come across a fortress, we'll take it. If we come across a fort, we'll take it. And as we go, we'll just gather up loads of loot until we've got loads on board. If I'm on there on my own, say I'm doing merchant at the moment, I will take
mission
a couple of missions and I will go off and I will do a merchant mission and I will just sneak around. If some players come up to me, I'll be like, look, I'm doing merchant. Like, you can kill me if you want, but you ain't going to get nothing. Because the merchant missions, what happens is you put your 10 crates on board, you go and sell the 10 crates. They know relatively you haven't got a lot on there. You just go and move it around.
Maybe do the merchant stuff if you're solo then.
Even when you're solo, it's very easy to go. Say I want to go and do Order of Souls. I just take a load of missions. I go on the thing, kill them, and I just move around. You just got to be smart about keeping your eyes out. If you see, because what happens now is as well in multiplayer, if you get your eyeglass out and you see another boat right in the distance and you look for your eyeglass at it, it'll tell you the name of the player and if they're an online player or if they're an AI. So you don't go over there because they're going to attack me over there. And then what you do is you just load up your boat, you sneak around, and it's actually quite fun. I've had a lot of fun with it, and I've really, really enjoyed it. I want to tick everything off.
I've got another question for you. I'm comparing
if anyone's got any questions, put them in now, because I'd love to talk about anyone's questions about the game. And I was going to say just now, Porfus said he's thinking about getting it back into it. So if you do, just join our guild. It's called Extreme PC UK, all one word. You can just join the guild. There's 24 spaces, and you can use any of our boats, so you get a good boat with like some decent like colours and that. So, but yeah, go on, Trev.
My question is, comparing the old to the new, back in the day, if someone had a higher rank in whatever of those side classes it is, would the person with the higher rank take...
Thank you for that sub, Eric. Really appreciate that, mate.
Sorry, corner mic. Would the person with the higher rank take the missions so that the other person could get the benefit of them? Or does the person with the lower stats have to take the missions so everyone can do them? If that makes sense.
The way it works at the moment is, say you're level 10, you can get level 10 missions. Say you get to level 20, you can go up to that person, so whether it's Gold Hoarder or whatever, and you can buy another set of missions at level 20, which are bigger. And level 30, level 40, level 50, and they go up in ranks. So if you come in my game as a brand new player and I take the mission, you're going to get the same amount of money for every mission as I get, so you'll get more for my level.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But on top of that as well now, you've now got another layer as well, because if you've got a captain ship, so a ship, I think the ships start 150 grand. I think they're 250 and 350. I can't remember exactly, but they're like something like that. But if you've got a captain ship, what can happen is now you can buy all your voyages and everything in bulk from one person on the jetty. You don't have to go around all the different buildings. So I can go up there and I can be like, right, I want five missions for them, five missions for them, five missions for them. And they will give you a pack of them. So it will say five gold hoarder missions, and it will say like 2 grand, 3 grand, 5 grand. And you just go for the most expensive ones. And then once I put their missions up, you all get them. Everyone gets the same.
That's good then. That means I can't come in and complain that you're bossing everyone around because you're on the higher level.
Yeah. But
so
you'll also, fishing is a massive part of the game now. There's loads of fish to get.
Where's Comic when you need them?
But the thing is, since
they've had
captain ships, you now can tick off loads of different achievements. There's hundreds and hundreds of things to tick off as you go through. What are they called? I can't remember what they're called.
I was playing with Nick and Comic was at the front end of the ship on the spire, and he was just pulling fish in.
Some things never change.
So, but the thing is as well, with the trinkets, so now all over your boat, downstairs, upstairs, you've got these little spaces for trinkets. So we've done a tall tale, and we got two like figures, like little action figures. So I put them on the back of my boat so people can see that I finished that tall tale, because I've got them action figures there. But what you can do is, if you do fishing and stuff like that, and you do a certain amount of it, you unlock now like five different types of plaques to go on the wall. Do you remember the singing fish used to go on the wall? You'd walk past it and it'd start singing. You could get
bass
like
fish,
them.
Yeah.
To go on the wall. So if you are, you've got a trophy fish and you've caught, say, 50 of them or whatever the limit is, I don't know, you can then unlock a trinket plaque to put on the wall. So when people come in, they know that you're an expert at fishing for them fish because you've got one in your boat on the wall and it's in a gold-plated plaque on the wall. So it's like, if you're, say, Comic and you love fishing, you can have all the fish around your ship that you fished for in-game. Yeah. And it's a way of showing it off to everybody else. But it's just...
Can you catch a megalodon?
I don't know, you know, but
you can't, but you can get the meat from it.
You do get a lot of unlocks for different coloured megalodons. Like, they've all got different unlocks and titles and stuff for each one.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. When you go into the game now, if you go into Gold Hoarders and you go to the website for Sea of Thieves and you log into your character, you could click on Gold Hoarder, say, and then it will show you all the breakdowns of all the things you need to unlock to get commendations. And there's commendations now for hundreds of things in the game to unlock titles and unlock skins and unlock... It's just so, it's so vast. There's so much stuff to do. It's just really fun. There's just so much to do. Going back to the guild, if anyone wants to get into the guild, just go to Extreme PC UK and join. We've still got 14 spaces, I believe.
I don't know if I'm in the guild or not.
How do you join the guild?
How do you join the guild? So you just join the game. At the top of the page, it will say guilds. And then just do search, type Extreme PC UK in. And the other thing that's really nice about the game is, if you do join the guild, when you come on the game, all you got to do is click on the guild and it will show you all the ships. If anyone's actually sailing at that point, say I'm sailing Extreme PC UK, the ship, HMS Extreme, it will come up with the guild. It will show you where the picture of all your ships are. At the very top left, it will say this person is sailing and he's got these people on his ship. And you can, if you're in the guild, you can just click and join my ship. So you don't have to do anything else. You literally jump into my ship.
So you don't have to have a ship to be in the guild, right?
No, you don't have to have a ship to be in the guild. You can just jump in and use our ships, and it will give you a galleon or whatever you want to use.
Can I do it via website, or do I have to do it in the game?
No, that's in the game. You can just go on to Sea of Thieves on Xbox app, right-click my name or whoever's playing with, and you can just click join.
Oh, yeah, like we used to do. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
But there's loads and loads of different stuff on there now as well, like... If I go into my reputation, I'm just on the website now. If I go into my reputation now, it shows you everything. And you've got all the tall tales. So there's something like, I don't know how many tall tales there are, and there's loads of them. And these are all individual quests to do. You've got Monkey Island in the game now. So you've got, tall tale the other day for Monkey Island. To be fair, I didn't like it. It was made like Monkey Island. You had to go around and pull this lever and pick that up and move it over there. And...
I love that stuff. What do you expect?
Really? It was just like, oh, so tedious. It was going on forever. I just wanted to get it done.
Monkey Island.
But the thing is, to get to unlock the special stuff for that tall tale, you've got to do all the commendations for that tall tale. So I got a list up of do it in order of what you need to do. Go here, do this. Go there, get that. Pick this up. Go and find this treasure. Take it there. And we went through it. And everybody I was playing with, Comic left. He got bored. He's like, sod this. All of this for two little figures to go in my boat. Jesse nearly got bored, but he stayed in. And I just stuck it out and done it. But some of the other tall tales are like to go and kill legendary pirates or to go to certain islands. And I'm going to be going through all the tall tales if anyone wants to do them. I'm on the second one at the moment and I'm happy to go through
them. Tall tales are good fun from memory. They are good fun.
Yeah. But on top of that, even though I was saying you've got Gold Hoarders, Merchant Alliance, Order of Souls, you've now got other ones. Now, I don't know if these were there before or not, but I don't recall them, but they're there now. You've got Reaper's Bones, which is to go and... you go to this place called the Reaper's Hideout, and it's like, I don't know, like a barren island, and it's all a bit creepy and that. And he gives you missions to go off and do Reaper's Bones. So you have to get up that up, your levels up that as well to 50 or whatever. Wow. You've also got Hunter's Call, which is where you go to a sea post, because you've got sea outposts now where you can sell fish and stuff.
Yeah, they're cool.
And basically Hunter's Call is actually hunting animals. So hunting all the fish, fishing, killing things and taking cooked meat. I'm on level 11 for that, so I'll be working on that. It's just so much stuff on it. You've got Sea Dogs. I don't know what the Sea Dogs is because I haven't done that yet. You've got Athena's Fortune, which is all underwater. So I don't know if these were here either as well. I don't know how new these are. So as you're going around the map, do you remember you used to see like birds swinging around and you'd know there'd be like, there'd be treasure?
I like that.
So now you've got this blue thing that swings around on the actual water. And when you get there, basically you go down, you swim all the way down and you come to like all coral and that. And you come to like a big like shipwreck, say under the water. And then you go through this bubble and then you go and then you can breathe and you're under the water. And what you do is you get these like mermaids and mermen. And you get waves of them attacking you at the bottom of the water. And you have to kill them all. When you killed like eight of them, the water goes up, comes down. You kill these other monsters, it goes up, comes down. You do it like six times. And then you unlock, you kill a boss, which will be like a merman. And then you open up this room and it's full of like all these one-off treasures, which are worth a lot of money. So you've got that as well. So
can that be done solo, do you think? Or is that out of the reach of?
Yeah, that would be rough.
You could do it. But because you just keep respawning. But the good thing about the game is now, Trevor, which my main point is you get on the boat, you don't necessarily have to have a plan. You could just literally drive and random stuff will happen all the time. Oh, we got a pirate ship to kill. Oh, there's a Megalodon. Oh, there's a pirate fort over there. Oh, there's a fortress. And you only got to do like a small run. And before you know it, you've got like 50 to 100 chests on board. Like it's big.
Tell me about this season pass then, like, because season passes to me often, not always, can be a bit of a ripoff in terms of what you get for them. Like the one in Destiny lets you rank up quicker, and it'll give you some unique skins, but it's never pay to win or anything like that.
Yeah, so this is not pay to win either. It's all superficial stuff. It's all skins. It's all like
you rank up quicker though with it though, don't you?
I tell you what, I ranked up well quick in this. I'm already on level 90 or 80, sorry, and it's only been out for. I don't know, a week. I'm 85 on level.
What's the max? 100?
Yeah. But what it is, on the pass as well, is at certain points, I think like 3 points through it, you unlock, like, so from 1 to 10, say, you'll unlock something without the season pass. So everybody gets this. So level 2, you get a pair of trousers. Level 3, you get some cash. Level 4, you get a big load of cash. Level 5, you get some eye makeup. Level 6, you get cash. Level 7 is a massive amount of cash.
Eye makeup. I want eye makeup. Yeah.
You get a pair of trousers and eye makeup.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Level 8, you get like a different currency. And then level 9, you get doubloons, which is the blue currency. Level 10, you get a title. Now, that you get for free, whether you pay for the season pass or not. Everyone gets that. Now, on level 1, if you've got the season pass and you've paid for it, yeah, you get a hat at level 1. You get some extra doubloons at level 5. And you get
another pair of trousers.
No, and at level 10, you get a cannon, like skin, where it makes, when it fires a cannon, electric comes out. So you only get the free extra items
Plus, you will rank up slightly quicker, like 10 or 20% quicker, mate. Is what you so tend you, to get.
The thing is, the item quality is better. So even though, so going from level 11 to 20, this is what you get for level 11 to 20. Like, so you get coins, doubloons, coins, a flag, coins, an eye patch, coins, and a compass skin. Yeah. Even though you got all of that for that, you got three different items if you had the extra, if you paid for it. And that would be, you'd get a anchor thing, you know, it spins around, you walk around,
mm-hmm.
which is much better because it's on your ship and you're much bigger. You get the doubloons and you get a skin for the hull of your ship, like the bottom of your ship. So you do, basically, I think what it is, as you go through the season pass, you get a whole set for your boat. If you get to level 100 on the season pass and you've paid for it, you unlock a whole skin for the whole boat. So everything's got a whole boat skin. So that's everything.
I think the useful thing for that season pass is the skins and stuff I never really give a shit about. It's the ranking up the 10, 15% quicker having it on. That's not paid. Some people might say that's pay to win. It's not. That's one of the privileges of ranking up slightly quicker. I find that really useful, especially if you play it lots.
But the thing is, this game is all based around skins and what you look like.
Oh no, not the whole game. I mean, I played it, and I'm into skins to a certain point.
Yeah, but what it's you want to do?
Live service game.
You start the game for fun, but then very quickly you move into the saying like, if I see other players, I want my ship to look intimidating. I want it to be like, if you do tall towers, you can get a ship hull which is all on fire. You can get sails which are on, like, they look like they're on fire and stuff like that. You
know? I like that.
And
like that Ghost Rider.
Yeah. So when you see that ship coming towards you, you think, oh, actually, I'm not going to mess with these guys. They look like they've got some good stuff. And that's what you sort of want to do. You want to put the fear in people. And I've been having some really good... I think over the last 6 months, the thing we've been lacking is actually playing games together, all of us. Getting people on the Discord. I noticed the Discord, I'm not going to lie, the Discord, it's got about 20 people on it, which are active all the time. And people aren't just getting on to play. I think since Xbox... I was saying this to Gray the other day. Since Xbox Game Pass, it's like totally washed out people playing games together. And the reason why this is, I've sussed it out. It's because they give you so many games. You ever been to the cupboard in your kitchen and you like open the cupboard door and you're like, what am I going to eat? And you're like, oh, there's so much stuff in there, I don't know. And you close the cupboard, you go and sit down. 5 minutes later, you come back, open the cupboard again. You're like, what should I eat? Oh, I don't know. There's too much choice. And what's happening is Xbox Game Pass and all these like subscription games is making games not have a value. So whereas before Gray would pay £70 for a game, he'd be like, I'm going to play this game, so I paid £70 for it.
Yeah.
Like Starfield. We got Starfield for free, basically, because...
This is why I didn't buy Game Pass for a long time, good. Mate, until I got the discounts that I was telling you about before. I got it a lot cheaper. Because you would say to me, I'll just get it. It's cheap. There's games there to play. Now, I would say to you, it's not value to me if there's nothing on the pass I really want to play. And most of the time, it was pretty meh. But we'll talk about it later, how Game Pass will be getting better next year. So. Yeah.
But I think what it's done is it's made people go on a game and go, right, I'll play a different game. So people aren't getting stuck into games anymore. They're not getting... Like, I remember when I was playing Fallout 3, I'd play it for hundreds of hours, you know?
Yeah, getting money's worth.
Starfield should have been that. But what have I done with Starfield? I played it for a little while, put it down, because I played something else.
Yeah, I'm not touching that until you know? Updates
and
come out.
It feels like the gaming community's dying out. People aren't playing games as much anymore, not getting into games with each other. It's like... You know,
you're kind of right. Actually, it's a good point. It's the value is out of them because you're not paying.
And
it's weird though. Sea of Thieves, I paid for that outright. I never got a season pass. People thought it was nuts. So, oh, why are you paying that? Because I don't want the game pass. It's not value for me. It wasn't for years, and I got value out of Sea of Thieves when it came out. So,
but it's not just Xbox too. You look at Epic. They've been giving out a free game every Thursday for years now.
Amazon Prime Gaming. The PlayStation Prime Game Pass.
Right? It's here to stay, so there's nothing.
But I've
noticed,
and I think this is because I'm not going to lie to everybody, lately with the podcast, I feel like the quality of the podcast was going downhill because we was brushing, and that's what it is, we're brushing through games and not playing them long enough.
No, we weren't going downhill. We're always good.
Speak for yourself. Sure
we can take a vote here if you want. If anyone wants to say who's gone downhill here, feel free.
I do want to say one thing, because Nick has been talking so much about Sea of Thieves, I think he's forgotten I actually played it. Now, granted, I haven't played as much as Nick, because Nick dives in headfirst and barrels through. I was saying, you were talking so much, I was going to say, like, I have played Sea of Thieves. I played it.
Yeah.
I did play it. But obviously Nick has played a lot more. But I think one of the things that I was impressed with the Sea of Thieves, well, two things. One was that they added a lot more since I played. I played at the very beginning, and I got bored pretty quickly because it's kind of like hitting the brick wall again after a while. But when I started playing with Nick, I was going like, wow, there's all kinds of crap now to play in this game. And so it was pretty thrilling. And I will tell you, I still think, even though I still think Division 2 is the best co-op game they've come out in years, this is right up there. This is the most fun I've had in a co-op game since Division 2.
And it was just me and Gray playing. It was funny.
Yeah. And, you know, and then when other people joined, it was a blast. We had a game where it was me, Nick, I think Matt, and Comic. Yeah. And the four of us were all running around his galleon. And at one point, we had a chest that it was a chest that actually cries water. I mean, literally, water comes out of it, right?
And or ones that make you drunk.
But there's also one that sets on fire at the same time.
So we had this thing. We had this crate down in the bottom of the boat, and all of a sudden, I go down there, and the whole thing's like filled up with water, and there's no holes in the ship. I go, "What the hell's going on?" And Nick's going, "Oh my!"
And then he's
like, "Nick's going, oh my god, we forgot about the crate that's crying." I'm like, "Oh my god!" So I had to bring the crying crate up so I could put it somewhere where the water would go out over the ship, and then we had to bail the water out that this stupid thing caused. But it was great because we were having so much fun. It was so funny.
The funniest experience for me is when Gray first got on the boat. So when he first got on, I said, look, I'm going to run you around the ship. I'll show you how everything works. Very basic. Yeah, I'll show you like... oh, and he's like, look, just boss me around. Tell me what to do and I'll just do that and we'll learn it as we go. So I'm like, all right, great. Pull the anchor up, put the sails, put them in the wind, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, we're coming into this island. Yeah, we've got the wind in our sails. We're coming, flying in like full speed. So I'm like, right, Gray, get ready on the anchor. And he's like, all right. And then I'm like, Gray, pull the anchor. And we're like coming in super fast at brick wall, yeah? I'm like, Gray, pull the anchor. Gray, pull the anchor. Gray,
get
where's
on
it?
The break. He's 66. He's telling out in life mode.
He went to me, I am pulling the anchor. And this is like, we only had like 3 seconds. This is 10 seconds in. So literally, you hear us go bang into the wall. And you hear
into the wall.
Click, 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 click. I was like, what have you done, Gray? Go downstairs, the boat's leaking everywhere. He's like, what? I pulled the anchor. I was like, you needed to pull it 20 seconds ago, dude. We got through.
I was just learning, man. I didn't know.
This is what happens when you play with a mouse with a trackball in it. I'm just saying, you don't have the same reflexes. Digital.
No, come on. I learned really quick. Yeah, and I was doing everything though. Then. I was pulling the sails up, down, three quarters, you know, into the wind, the whole nine yards.
Listen, Gray can't pull anything that quick. I'll just leave it at that. Right?
I think Trev should play this with us just to have a test with us.
I probably will. You've got me more convinced. But, I probably will.
There's nothing like picking skeletons off with my pirate sniper rifle off the bow of the boat. Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
My highlight,
bang, boom.
My highlight of the week is the picture that got posted in. And this was amazing, yeah? So there's me, Matt, and Jesse and Gray on a boat. And all of a sudden, the music changes. Goes all, like, dark and that. And we're like, oh, so what's happening? What's happening? Is it a Kraken?
Is this a ship on the island?
And then, yeah, and then we look, and this pirate ship, like, with skeletons just pops out of the water, yeah? Like a galleon, same as us. Big ship, yeah? And then I'm like, look, everyone, don't panic. I said, just go straight. Don't worry about fighting it. We'll outrun it. So we sort of turn slightly right. So we're all looking off the left side of the boat at it. And it just turns left, like, and it goes off, yeah. And the thing is, it's going off, like, really fast. Like, our boat can't even go this fast. All of a sudden, we see it going towards this island in the distance. No lie. I was like, it's going to go over the island. I said, it's going to crash into the island. All of a sudden, we all just stop and we're all looking at it. The boat, no lie, hit the island at some sort of, like, speed. And it just jumped. And literally, it went over the whole island, up and down, all bumpy.
And all the judges are holding up a 10, 10, 10, yeah, exactly. 9, 10, 10.
It wasn't it like that, Gray? It done a proper...
Nick posted a picture, and I cropped it so you could see it better. And you see the ship literally going over the island.
It's 10 feet above the island doing a wheelie.
I'm like, what is this?
Hilarious.
I'm wondering whether that was just luck or whether it does that.
Yeah.
You know? It's hard to say.
Matt's put in the word handbrake because I don't know why I keep forgetting to say pull the anchor. I'm like, pull the handbrake.
Release the anchor. You don't pull the anchor. Jesus Christ, man. I got a question about the ships. Is it still three ship classes? Yeah. I know the middle one was the brig. Is it the brig or something?
Brigantine.
The brigantine. That's it. Yeah. No one wants that one. It's either the sloop or the galleon, isn't it? It's, What's the point in the middle one?
The problem I find is people don't like, they don't like going out in a galleon if there's only two of you because they think it's hard. And I can drive a galleon on my own, but I would rather go out in a galleon because I know once I play, I'm going to be out there for a few hours, knowing that when players come along, they can jump into my ship with me. I'd rather do that than go out in a two and then no one can get in.
Two people in a galleon, no, not for me. That's too underpowered. If three people, I could maybe pull it off.
No, because
there's so much to operate, man.
No, not really, because if you...
Oh, you're not on yet.
Sorry, to anyone listening there, I don't know what happened there. The Discord, the computer, Discord went down.
It's not paid his internet bill.
Yeah, the Discord went completely down, cut me off. And then I think the stream had the same problem. So anyway, there was a little... To everyone listening back, this would be instant. But for everybody on here now, we're now back. It was a good...
Well, you know, it was funny, though. You went down, but the stream was still going. And then not Trevor my and I were talking, but our audio was done. I was looking at us talking on the stream, but our lips were moving and you couldn't hear anything. And you were, oh, and we're gone.
Well,
it was weird.
We're all back now. Anyway, Kat said Pirates took down the stream.
Yeah, that's it.
But anyway, Sea of Thieves.
That was a long one.
Sea of Thieves, fine.
Yeah, I am going to have. Am going to be playing this regularly. I was thinking about getting on stream playing it, but I need people to play with it in a day. So if anyone is interested in Sea of Thieves, join our guild. Feel free to jump in with us anytime. I'll be putting up updates on the Discord when we're going live and stuff like that. Yeah, right. Let's move on. What have we got next to talk about?
Trev,
the Callisto Protocol. I won't spend an hour on it, but I'll spend a little bit of time on it, I guess.
I want to know whether it's as good or bad,
YouTube,
as they say.
Guys, I don't think I've played this. I'll get into that. Certainly, there is a bit to talk about it. So, it's one of the guys from the studio that brought you Dead Space. It's him that went away to make his own studio, Striking Distance Studios, I think they're called.
Which is why I wanted to play it.
And he thought, right, I'll make this game. And I went to play it because it was on the PlayStation Game Pass thing, you know? I was like, all right, okay. Fires it up. And I'm a bit of a shite bag with those games because I'm like in the dark, oh, scary, Resident Evil and games like that, you know? So I'm a bit hesitant. But I played it. I was hooked immediately.
Just quickly, before you carry on, do you watch horror films on your own in that room?
No.
You don't? Is that why?
I watch other movies on my own in that room. Animated Disney, get around out the gutter. You're disgusting, man. Honestly. I'm sorry about him, guys. No, I don't. I would watch them on my own. I'm not really a fan of horror movies. They're crap.
Is it because you're scared?
No, it's because they jump scare you. That's a shit way to scare someone. It's just an easy, pure tactic. Instead of scaring, is it The Dark Water? It's a Japanese movie. That scared the soul out of me. Like, I was like, I felt.
The little boy in the corner constantly.
And no, it was
she goes in the lift, the loft. She goes up in the loft.
Yeah. And she loses her daughter, and her daughter's up in the water thing. And they've got this in America a lot, the water things. Anyway, digress. So, but the game isn't as bad. The moral of the story is it's a little moon near the planet Jupiter. It's one of the moons of Jupiter. I think it is called Callisto. I think it's space, the real life moon.
Yeah.
And you are a guy who's you're a smuggler. You're smuggling stuff from A to B, and this guy's smuggling stuff to a prison on Callisto, and it's a hellhole, but something goes wrong and it crashes, and you don't know what's went wrong at the start. And then next thing he knows, he's been dragged in and he's getting locked up. He has it down at the wrong, he's been locked up. And they put this implant thing in the back of his head. That's your health meter. So it's like equivalent of chains or handcuffs.
That's right out of Dead Space right there.
Yeah, well, again, it'll be similar, very similar in that respect. Yeah. But I've never played Dead Space. I'll get to it. I've never played Dead Space, you know. So this was free in the Game Pass. That's why I wanted to try it. And you start with no weapons. Something goes wrong. The prison goes down with power. And you get out, and then you're like, okay, the only thing I've got, the first weapon you start with is like a baton, and you can upgrade it. And the thing is, the mechanics, you can tell me about Dead Space because I've never played it. The mechanics with this game are brilliant because you have no guns at the start. And the way to dodge, you press left or right or backwards on the joystick really quickly, and you swerve out the way of someone hitting you, because if they hit you, you're down and you take quite a bit of damage. So you're ducking, you're weaving, and then you wait for the counter. You can smash them in the face with a soft smash or a hard smash. And then you upgrade this baton as you go along. You get points and you can upgrade it. You'll get guns. Of course, you'll get guns. There's a Cockney geezer in it. There's a Callisto Protocol version of Nick in that. He's well dodgy, this geezer, man. He's well dodgy. I just saw it, isn't Nick? He's
West London. West London.
How do you upgrade the baton? Like with spikes or something?
That's not a good question, because I'm like, how
the baton? How do you upgrade the baton?
The baton, as we say baton. Here. Baton.
Yeah, whatever. Baton. You said baton first. I went with you.
You did, to be fair, Trev.
It's the technical word for it. It's the proper word for it. That's why.
Baton actually sounds much meaner. I got a baton.
But this thing, you upgrade it because it looks like a paddle is the best way to describe it.
Jan Kinky with this, isn't he, again? I know where this link's coming in. He's set himself up for kink.
I don't have enough time.
I'm going to beat you.
Was it
with
one
my
of those
paddles.
Paddles? Was the paddles with the holes in it and stuff? Is that one of the?
Can GR502 says, can you beat people to death with a baton or a paddle?
Can you?
You can spank them to death with it.
You could do that as well, actually. Yeah.
Well, you just hit a slap.
If the baton doesn't have like at least some kind of spikes on it, you can add to it. I mean,
no. What you do is a lot of this is the one thing about upgrade mechanism in that game. It's not obvious what it's always doing to the gun or the weapon. That thing does suck. There's some small visual. There's some small visual upgrades you see in it. A lot of the stuff it's in stats. So the one thing you can do is electrify it, because it is an electrified, or it can be electrified, baton. So that when you smack someone, not only are you doing damage, blunt force damage, but you're also electrifying them a bit as well. And they're mostly guys that are possessed or demons and whatnot. So smack them, but it's the guns that you upgrade as well.
So it's like a tase bat or something.
Kind of, yeah.
How taser bat, cattle prod.
A taser baton. A what? Yes. But more paddle-like, yeah. That's a fair thing to
kinky
say. Yeah.
Kinky paddle. Kinky paddle.
Again.
A kinky cattle prod.
That's it, man.
There you go. Can you upgrade to a cattle prod? Now we're talking.
Just quickly, I just looked up some images of this game, and it does look very Dead Spacey. But yeah, I've got a question for you. Yeah. Do you feel like this... How old is this game?
A maximum of a year old, maybe nine
so
months.
So this is the kind of game that I would never, ever probably pick up. And the reason why I probably never pick it up is not because it's not good or bad. It's just because it's one of them games that just feels like it's been done. Do you not feel like that?
Well, it is. It's very similar to Dead Space. It's nothing original.
But when Dead Space originally came out and it was linear, like Dead Space 1, 2, 3, them games at that point in time had really good graphics and they were linear, right? Because that's the size of the game. Nowadays, to have a game like that... It needs to be real open world or whatever. Otherwise, it's just
no, not necessarily, because when they remade the Dead Space, the recent remake, they did really well with that game. So obviously, there's room for it.
Which is on the Game Pass right now. I don't know if it's the remake or the original.
It's just come out today, isn't it?
Dead Space, yeah. Is it the remake Dead Space that's on Game Pass or the original? Yeah.
Do you want me to have a look? I'll have a look while you're chatting about it.
Yeah,
it might be the remake,
but we'll see.
Because I will play that after. And I'm glad I went about it this way, because I don't know if I would have bought that game unless it was free on the Game Pass, because it's not normally my cup of tea. But saying that, I love Resident Evil. I'm playing Resident Evil 4 Remake at the moment, and I'm loving that.
There's a lot of these going out, isn't there? So this is what this one is. So Dead Space, it's the original, first one. The sci-fi survival horror classic Dead Space returns, completely rebuilt from the ground up to offer a deeper and more immersive experience.
Yeah,
the remake
that's
brings
the remake.
Jaw-dropping visual fidelity. I can't say that word. Fidelity.
I can't say
that. Suspenseful atmospheric audio and improvements to gameplay while staying faithful to the original game's thrilling vision.
See, to me, a total remake ground up is really much better than just
I can't do it. I can't do a remake.
I will play... No, it's still the game. They've just upgraded everything visually to make it look better.
No. The remake of Dead Space... The remake of Dead Space is not just the visual, which that's true. They built.
Oh, they've tweaked and altered stuff.
They've also
they?
Yes, yeah, they've also done stuff to bring out like there was
that'd be a remaster, wouldn't it? Be a remaster then, wouldn't it?
It's not exactly. It's not a remaster. It's a remake. So everything was done from the ground up. But the difference is that in the from the original one, the way I understand it, because I bought the remake for half off at a sale. But basically, there were certain points in the original game that you kind of like. Oh, I wish I knew more about that, or I wish I could have done that, or I wish.
And that's what they've done.
And they actually added some of that into the game, so that so now you actually have a few new things that are going on.
Well, that's
well.
Good.
Yeah.
You got another question?
I was just going to say, just in the chat, GR502 said lots of people are pretty tired of open world games. But even if you are tired of open world, I do agree. And again, I think that comes back into the watered down.
I don't agree with that, because to be honest with you, technically, a lot of games like Horizon Forbidden West that I played, and even God of War Ragnarok, were pretty open world, and they were fantastic. Now they're RPGs, I understand that, but they were still large games. Well, I mean, what
I was about to say to the answer to that question is. GR502 says lots of people are pretty tired of open world games, but if I said, oh, I'm really tired of open world games, I'll go back to linear games. Trust me, I'd be even worse.
Yeah. Unless, yeah. I mean, if it's totally linear, but it depends on the game, I guess, too. But I mean, you can say Dead Space is linear because it is more linear than anything else, but it's just good.
It was about, and Dead Space was about the jump scares and all that. So,
I'm
glad you brought that up. I'm not saying Callisto Protocol doesn't have that in it. It does, but it's not as often. It's not as obvious. It's more scary about, you know, like the subtle things, like little noises in the corner and the atmospheric music, and not necessarily jumping out and scaring you, because I'd say it's a lame way to scare someone. And it's, I was more freaked out without that, which is a good thing. Compliments to it. The game. I mean, you guys will play Dead Space, so you can compare it for me. This game took about 10 hours to complete, which initially before, when I read how long it would take to complete, I went, what, 10 hours? That's crap. But do you want to know something? It was the perfect length of time.
Yeah, sometimes games do that, where you think, you hear in a review that it's not that long, but then when you play it, you think, right, the time's right now. And we've seen the opposite of this happen before. Do you remember Valhalla? Yeah. Valhalla was an amazing game. But it just kept going and going and going. Yeah, and I don't think any of us finished it. Because
that's why I'm sick of Assassin's Creed games.
Not with Mirage, but I'll get into that. Valhalla, they did a survey. They said 35% of the people actually completed the game. Only 35%. Mm.
No wonder. Stop doing it. Make it long.
It's too big.
The principles make it smaller, because that was 10 hours, and it felt longer to me, and it was just the perfect length of game. It really was, because at the end, I was clamoring for more. I would say, you guys, without spoiling it for me, because after I finished RE4 Remake, I will go to Dead Space on Game Pass, right? But you guys can tell me roughly the theme of the game, like the main plot, without spoiling it for me, and roughly how long it takes to complete, do you know? Is it longer than 10 hours?
Without giving too much away, I mean, Dead Space 1, basically, you're on a space station, and basically the people on the space station end up getting infected with this virus, I'll say, for lack of a better word. And it basically turns them into very bizarre-looking morphed creatures, I mean, things that are coming out of your nightmares or whatever. And at that time, and even now, some of the creatures are really horrific looking. I mean, very similar to the Resident Evil kind of weird monsters that they have and stuff. So basically, you happen to be an engineer that you didn't get affected because you were in your engineer suit, which protected you, and you were the only one. And so now you're going through the ship to basically see if there's any other survivors. But the cool thing about this game is that you're an engineer, and you have to figure out how to make weapons that are going to work. You can't just sit there and like, oh, I'll just pick up a gun, you know, and just start shooting. You're actually picking up stuff and actually constantly modifying
your weapons. Yeah.
Right. And that's the cool part, because there are some really neat looking guns that you could do that you know, as the engineer learns more and your skill up, you're able to create some really wacky weapons that are pretty cool, you know, and stuff. And then you get to learn that not every creature goes down the same way. So some creatures, you have to cut their legs off. You don't cut their legs off, they're on
a lot
you.
Of the, yeah, I saw that. You have to cut the limbs off a lot of them before you can kill them, because otherwise you're just wasting ammo.
Exactly. So certain ones you kill certain ways, other ones you kill other ways, otherwise you're toast. Believe me, I got mauled and eaten up by enough times in the first Dead Space.
How long roughly is it? It's more than 10 hours. You might not remember from back.
You know what?
In the day,
I couldn't tell you. I don't remember. But it's the same thing like you said. It didn't matter. The game was so good. It seemed like it was a lot longer.
On here, it might actually tell me that. So let me have a look for you.
The thing is, this game sounds very similar to it for the reasons I mentioned before, which is no surprise. It's an infection, but it's infection caused by, think of Doom, the game's Doom, where something's found under Mars that starts affecting everyone. It's kind of like that. Some primordial thing is affecting everyone now. And I don't know why it doesn't affect the main guy, but the main guy, I can't remember his name. Is it Jacob, or is that Dead Space guy? He's pretty cool. I like him. And it looks stunning. It's a stunning looking game. Don't get me wrong. It's a stunning looking game. The bosses are... I made a boo-boo, though. I'm going to hold my hands up, and no one will believe me, but... Whatever. At the start, it asks you to choose your security level, right? So I'm like, I thought security was maybe like puzzles or something. Like, I hate puzzles in games. I hate them, right? Because my brain's not designed for them. I don't like them. So I'm like, yeah, minimum security. I don't want any of that crap. I just want to the adventure and the shooting and the fighting. And then I realized when I got to the end, that was the skills, that was the difficulty level. And I was like, oh no, I always do it in medium. I've just done it on gray setting. I've done it on gray setting, easy.
Why?
No. So I felt bad. I felt awful. I wonder why it was easier. But here's the problem. I had that in my Turkish account, PlayStation thing, right, where I've got Game Pass backed up for 5 years. However, my card attached to it, it's been kicked off. They've got Wise, so I can no longer buy additional cheap games or DLC. What has DLC? The Callisto Protocol, and it went half price. I was like, oh, I can't do it. So I thought, right, this is a gamble. I want to play the DLC. I've got the game on the Turkish account. I'm going to go to my British account, and I'm going to buy the DLC and hope to God that they work with the file, the game save, you know? And thankfully, it did work. I was like, oh, thank God for that. So I can play the games in the Turkish account, or get them in the Turkish account, download them, then play them on the UK account, and I'm okay. So I got the DLC, despite it being, I don't want to spoil this, the game is excellent. The DLC is not worth the money, even at a fiver. It's done in 2 hours max. It is, the ending of the original game is brilliant, because it leaves it open to a possible second one, which they're not going to do now. But the DLC ends in a crap way. And I won't say what. I was just like, everyone online, Reddit's going nuts. Like, how could you leave it like that? How would you bring it back for a second game? But for whatever reason, the game bombed. I don't understand why. I tried to find reasons for why it bombed. People were saying it's copying Dead Space too much, or there were some glitches at the start. I didn't see them because I've got the up-to-date patches. But I will play Dead Space like soon enough and try and compare them together. But I generally, like, Hans is not here. He would take the piss out of games like that. But I love he takes the piss out of games, Gray, like the ones we like God of War, Ragnarok, and The Last of Us and stuff, right? But see, if you're invested in the story and the lore, I don't mind a lot of cutscenes and stuff, because a game is bigger than a game. And what I mean by that is it's a bigger overall package. It's entertainment. It's your movie. It's your game. It's everything combined. And that's why it costs $200 million to make these games. Hans doesn't like that, to each their own, but I love that if I'm invested in what I'm playing. So I don't go past the end of the cutscenes. I watch them, and you learn what's happening, you know, so... Who made a comment?
Tropshaw just said nothing beat Alien Resurrection. So I was just going to say to you, how do them games tally up to each other? Are they the same kind of game? I haven't played them.
Alien Isolation. I'm glad you brought it up, Trop. I have got that downloaded. I have had it for a long time.
No, not Isolation. Resurrection. I think it's a newer one.
What's... Trub, you'll have to shed light on that for me. I was thinking about the one where you're on the space station, you're looking for your mum, your Ripley's daughter. and there's just one exomorph going about the station.
Is that the one where you have to try and like dodge into gaps? And
it's about 5 years old now or something. But yeah, stage, mate, it's not.
No, I think he's talking about a newer one.
Tell me about the new one. I don't know about the old one. I started, mate, and I was that was jump scare. That was I was shitting myself playing that.
Yeah, because they brought out a really crap one as well, which was Pants.
I was just like, I'm not playing this. This is not entertainment anymore. I'm filling my drawers quicker than I can change them. So I was like, no, I'm not.
And he was home alone.
But I was home alone. So I will go back and play it though, because that has got some rare reviews. That game, it's excellent. I just need to have the lights on, maybe.
So, right,
yeah,
you?
I love that game.
Are you all done with that one?
Yeah. Forza Motorsports, just, and I haven't played
it. Yep, just before we move forward, GR502 just said, City Skyline 2 released this week, I think. Seems to have some optimization problems, though. I haven't tried it. So this is a game, I'm just going to talk about it for 2 minutes. I'm actually going to try this. I've never played number one, because I always liked SimCity, the multiplayer, where you had different cities in the whole area. Even though the game completely failed and it all didn't work out and you could never win the game and it had all problems, I never actually got into City Skylines 1, but everybody got into it and they said it was really good. City Skylines 2, I think I would definitely get into it. I was talking earlier on the Discord about it, and a few people have had comments about it. Saying,
have you changed that enough to make it worth the while?
Well, apparently it's photorealistic now. It looks amazing. But there's big issues with people only getting 21 frames.
Yeah, I could have told you that, yeah.
So what I'm going to do is, we're not going to talk about that right now. We will be talking about it on probably the next one or the one after. Because it's a game you have to play for a long time. We have to get into it. So we will talk about that next time. But it's something that's on my list. There is actually quite a few games that are up to play. I'm playing Sea of Thieves. Yeah. I'm playing Crusader Kings 3. I'm playing Star Citizen. I'm playing Truckers MP. We're playing Skyline, there's Forza, there's so many at the moment to talk about, it's crazy. What we'll do is we'll build up a backlog and then we'll have stuff to talk about all the time. So
it's not a bad problem to
because
have,
I'm not gonna lie, I feel this podcast is much more entertaining because we've had some proper in-depth conversations about only two games rather than 10 games and had a couple of words about it. Do you know what I mean?
I've enjoyed that. I normally talk about my games too quickly.
Yeah,
that and or Nick doesn't let me finish the game.
Yeah, we just have to tell me because I'll cut. Time. I'm always going to cut you off.
No, but you did this time. Like I genuinely wanted to talk about this game because I really enjoyed it and I got the time to talk about it and justify it. You know.
Well, I'm going to let you into an autistic secret. So one of my traits is if you're talking about something that I have no interest in, I will very quickly change the subject. And I've been very well known if I'm out of my missus in the pub and that. With mates.
Oh no, you do it all the time.
I do it all the time. But with my missus, because it's my missus, we'll be in a group of people talking, and they'll just be talking, and I'm not. This is not what I'm thinking about you just now.
I'm not interested, Trey. So what about Trekway then? Do you want to talk about that?
No, but listen. But what I do without Matt of her is they'll be talking, and I'll be like, in my head, I'll be thinking, this is boring conversation, and I'll just go, right, can we change subject? This is boring now. And it's you going, don't be so bloody rude.
Just switch off, mate. You go quiet. Just switch off and stay. That's what everyone else says. You switch off for a minute.
It's hard because you feel like wasting time. So if I do that, just call me out on it.
Hoi, Nick, you...
Do you know what? Jansen used to do it to me. We'd be talking and then he would be like, he'd be saying something and I'd just totally switch off and not listen to him. And he'd be like, do you understand what I'm saying? And I'd be like, yeah. He'd go, what did I just say? And I'd be like, I don't know. And then he'd be like, not listening to me, are you? And it would just, and I'd have to listen. So you just have to call me out. Don't worry, I won't get offended. I've probably offended everybody else.
It was a good chat about both of them, to be fair. I like Sea of Thieves. I like Crystal Protocol. Forza, you're going to talk about next. I've downloaded it. I haven't played it yet, mate.
Yeah, so the reason why I put Forza Motorsport, which is on Xbox Game Pass, is just released this week. The only reason I put that on there is I've only done the tutorial. I'm in my first car, and I just wanted to have a little brief talk about what I've seen so far, because there's a few people playing it. You treat Trev like your wife.
You're muted, Gray.
Or do I treat Trev, my wife, like Trev?
I was saying, Forza is pretty boring. Can we move on to the next one?
If you was up my street, you would say, Nick, you're boring. Can you move on?
you say he treats Trev like your wife. He does like grabbing your bollocks when you're at the pub.
Actually, I believe you did that first last time.
Yeah, revenge.
And I think Trev reported you. Not Trev. Ross reported you to the police.
My hand bounced back really quickly. Like, no.
Wait. I missed something. You grabbed Wick's bollocks. What happened?
So Nick has a thing where he likes to like grab your undercarriage when he's had a few jars, right? And I got, I said to him, I'm going to get revenge next time. So I got him first time round, and I think it ended 2-2 or 3-3 at the end. I can't remember. It was a draw.
Yeah, at Insomnia, there was this thing going around Insomnia where everyone's grabbing everyone's bits. It's all right. No police were called, and no one was offended. So we was all right. The height of it was when I got drunk and then had to take it to the next level. So I crawled under all the desks in Insomnia whilst Ross was streaming and grabbed his in his seat. And
then I whacked Nick there, but I think I'd done it at such an angle that my hand actually bounced backwards. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
The thing is, he'd done it to me. He went to do it and then he just bounced off of it and then looked at me and I went, yeah.
It's the noise though.
Anyways, I don't know how we're talking a load of bollocks. Literally.
Somehow there's something to do with the cars, but I'm not sure what.
Forza Motorsport. Basically, that's come out. We all know about Forza Horizon, Forza Motorsport. It's the one on the track. So it's not the one where you drive around all the different roads and stuff.
It's a Gran Turismo equivalent.
Yeah, I'm just going to say a few brief things because I haven't got into it enough. I'm on my first car, and the way it works in this one is you start with one car, you get to pick one of three, you do a race laps. And they've made it a bit like, it feels a little bit like Formula One. You know how you do a training lap to get your position, so you do three laps. And then what they've done is they've done a curveball. So you used to just have a car and you could just upgrade it, couldn't you? If you had money, you could do whatever to it. You just upgrade everything. So now what they've done is they've brought in these like XP sort of levels for your car. So as you're going around a training track doing your test run to get your position in, you'll unlock points for your car. And if you do good lines and stuff, you'll get more points. And with them points, you can then upgrade your car, but you can only upgrade certain parts of it. So you can't just max out everything like you used to. If you've got 100 points, you can only max out the brakes or the air filter or suspension. You can only do one bit at a time. So everybody that's playing with that car has to use that car longer and longer and longer to build up more and more points to unlock it, giving you a whole new level to performance and tuning. So you can make your car faster with tuning over having like height or... Do you know what I mean?
You do auto-tuning or something.
You can do auto-tuning. Really, you can click a button and it'll auto-tune it and it'll give you the mid-range upgrade for everything. Mm. I played this game and... there's a lot of people in the community that want to play multiplayer, so we might do a gaming night on it where we all get on and we all just race because it's all round circuit. So it might be a good idea for anyone that's interested to play it. Do, because you've got a tutorial for about an hour. Do the tutorial.
An hour?
Oh, I don't know. It's not. I don't know if it's an hour. It's just like training, do a race, do training, do a race. I think you did that three times, so it's quite a bit of time. And then it breaks into you buying your cars and then going into whatever you want. Now, you can then go on multiplayer and do other stuff. I haven't tried multiplayer yet, but the game looks pretty good. The only thing I will say is a lot of people complaining, me especially. I've got a 3080 Ti, yeah, and a 12900K overclocked. And I don't know if it's this DLSS crap that you switch on, where it basically gives you the best frames and it tunes it as you go. You're driving the car around, it's crystal clear. And then all of a sudden, you get a massive frame drop, and then the whole game just goes blurry.
Oh dear!
And it's
because crashed.
Trev, I want you to try it to tell me if you think it's normal.
The same graphics card as you, so.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know if to switch it off and just have lower graphics settings, or just to leave it.
Well, Nick, you only need 60 FPS in a driving game, mate. You don't need more. It's a kind of waste because you're not moving that quick that you'll notice. So
no, but it should be the opposite. It would be the opposite. You want as high as possible in a driving game because it's fast flowing.
No, but I mean more like sharp turns left and right is when you would get the benefit of more FPS, I think, in my head.
It's very hard to explain it. It's like you're playing a game, you're driving, it's all crystal clear, and then all of a sudden it's like you see it choking up, and then it starts, the whole game blurs out, and you're driving a blurry screen, and then it comes back.
Is it Playground Studios that do that? they are really good at these games, and it's not just a simple port when they do a PC. They do a proper PC version, so there should be no excuses for it being...
Oh, you need to test it for me and tell me what you think.
I will. Yeah,
because it was to the point where I was like, oh, I need to go into settings and tweak something. Something's not right here. Unless I've got something switched off wrong, I don't know. Whitey says, do you have a steering wheel? I don't ever use a steering wheel. I only like my Xbox controller. Not into steering wheels. Just like Graze and trackball.
You have to be properly into racing games to justify getting a steering wheel and or pedals, and I'm not. Can I want you to ask you a couple
of questions? You want to get the graphics first anyway, before it goes blurry.
it looks stunning until it goes a little bit weird. Yeah, it looks stunning. So it looks like it's the Gran Turismo version, Microsoft's Gran Turismo. It's their version of it, basically. I would try it. I don't think I would love it, because Forza Horizon was the more fun version of it. That's why we all got into that and we liked that. Yeah. But I will try this, mate.
I'll tell you what. Sorry if you heard me there. Just anyone to be quiet. No, my kids are off on half term, so they're up late. I tell you what I did find very interesting is they've got the same thing again where you buy a car and you can basically do all your graphics with all the little colours and stuff. So you can build a car and then you can put it on a marketplace. Which was quite funny is when you go on there, you can click this button to sync up all your old cars. So I went on there and it's got Forza. It's got like six different games, Forza 1, Forza 2, Forza 3, whatever they are. And it's got all your cars in there. All the skins that you made on your Xbox years ago are all in there. But now...
Oh, wow.
But now all updated. So I was like, man, I've got... I had a Mini in there. I had a Mark II Golf. I had a Mark I Escort. I had... RS Turbo, and all of the skins are in there, and I can just upload them from all my past games into this game.
That's impressive. That makes sense.
It's pretty cool.
Should be happening, to be fair.
But my main thing is, I don't want to talk about this game right now. I just wanted to let you know that we will be playing it in community nights. We will be doing it. And like I always say, to keep the Discord alive, if any listeners out there, just get into the Discord, Extreme PC UK. Just search it on Google, it'll come up straight away, or get it from the bottom of the podcast in the notes. Join the Discord. More than happy to let everybody have free run of gaming night. So if you want to do a gaming night for the game you like to play, I just tell you a night, I make you a room, and you go on there, people come in, you'll play it. And that's it. At the end of the night, it cancels itself. We carry on. That's what I want to try and do.
Did you enjoy Forza Motorsport for the brief period you played it, though?
To be fair, I don't normally like circuit racing. I get very bored
same.
Of it.
But
done this new time and like... The track's put into sections, so you might have, say, a chicane. Is it a chicane? It's called a chicane, isn't it? And you get, like, a split time for that little section. So as you go through there, if you do it fast and you do it perfect, you'll get 10 points towards your car. So as you go around, you could get, like, say, 10 points, or you could get 1,000 points. But if you get 1,000 points as you go around the track, you then know that you're getting performance boosts on the next one, the next race.
Oh, okay. You know? Okay. Interesting. We'll talk about that next time. I'll play it before next time as well.
So. Yeah. I don't know what's going on my microphone. I'm trying to mute it to tell everyone to be quiet downstairs, but my microphone stopped working.
I can barely hear anything, mate. So, yeah.
I heard Alan yelling at you. Alan, okay.
anyway, right. So that's Forza Motorsport. Great. I believe we're on to talk. Do you want to save Assassin's Creed for next week, or do you want to and do the news, or do you want to do Assassin's?
Okay, I'll save a go at Mirage for next week, and I will give the news. In fact, Mercy had texted her in the chat. He wanted to know about this, so here we go. Ubisoft is guess what? Delaying Skull and Bones again.
I don't know if anyone heard me then. My mute button on this. I don't know if anyone's got a Stream Deck, but lately they just play up all the time. Like the buttons never work properly. I press it.
Why they should have a mute button?
User error.
Yeah, I press it and then it doesn't mute and then it all of a sudden mutes and then I press it and then it goes on off and it catches up with itself. So if you heard me shouting downstairs just now, it's because of that.
Hear you when you were trying to talk. It was cut off for a couple of seconds.
All right.
Which was actually a good thing.
Not long enough.
Solid start, man. Yeah, Skull and Bones.
Anyway, Skull and Bones is being delayed once again because it was supposed to come out more towards the end of this year. Now it's going to come out sometime between January and March of next year. So,
have you done any follow-ups on the actual gameplay of this yet?
Have the what?
Have you done any follow-ups on the actual gameplay?
No, they only had that one thing with the game plan. Hasn't been anything else since.
As I've been playing Sea of Thieves quite a lot, it's going to take a lot to overtake Sea of Thieves at the moment with what they've put a lot of effort in there. And from what we saw from Skull and Bones, we was all excited because we all thought it was going to be Sea of Thieves with realistic graphics.
Right, exactly. Good.
But I don't think it is going to be that, because the last we saw, you couldn't get on boats and attack people. It was all cinematic. I didn't know if they changed that.
The graphically looks good. I mean, maybe not the gameplay.
Yeah, the graphics do look good. I think so. But yeah, stuff was missing. It just makes sense.
Feels like more of a World of Warships.
Because it's been delayed. This is what, the fifth time they delayed this, and they keep on saying, "Well, we want to make sure the game is good."
That's a bad sign.
I don't care anymore.
Don't you think it's a bad sign?
Yeah, but it's a bad sign, and it's because at least once they've had to go back and almost start again because of various problems. That's bad pre-production right there. Do a better job.
Part of the problem right now is the fact of not so much doing the game, but because they're making like gobs of money off Assassin's Creed Mirage and the new Assassin's Creed projects that are coming. So they're putting so much of their time and effort into it that they're the ones that are pushing Skull and Bones off to the side. So I'm so disinterested in the game now. If it ever comes out, will I try it? Sure, I'll try it. But I don't even care right now. Bring it out now, bring it out 10 years from now, I don't really care.
I won't get it. I won't get it because you've got the Ubisoft Game Pass thing, which makes sense. I don't.
Right.
I've said it before, and I apologize. I'm not a fan of Ubisoft games for the most part. They just rinse and repeat.
They
will charge 50 or 60 quid easily for that game, which I'll wait to see reviews, and then I'll maybe get it when it gets cheaper, but...
The Game Pass on Ubisoft to me is worth it. It's $15, but you can play a whole game in a month and then be done, or maybe let's say 2 months.
True.
And that's $30 and you're done. And then if you wait long enough afterwards and you really still want to own the game, then the game gets so cheap that you could buy it. You know, and then you own the game. And that's the way I kind of do it. But I cancel Ubisoft and bring it on often all the time.
You would be smashing that game pretty much almost exclusively for the month, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes you want a game to really get into, but like Nick was saying earlier on about not getting into games because you've got so many choices, you know that you have to smash that game, or otherwise you're paying another $15 the month after. So,
but to be truthful, even if I bought it, I would still smash it because that's the game I really
good
like.
Chill for that.
You know, and stuff. So same thing like on the new Assassin's Creed, which I'll talk about more next week. What'd you say?
Straight over that.
Missed that part.
You'll have to listen to it back, Gray.
That's right. Well, let me see. I'll make a note of that.
But listen, I will hopefully...
Let me finish one thing, though. The worst news, though, is that supposedly they're delaying Star Wars Outlaws as well. And everybody was waiting for this game, Star Wars Outlaws. It's been looking pretty good from little things that I've seen. So now we're hearing that it's not going to be coming out until March. So now not only do we have to wait even longer for a game that's been delayed 5 times, but now Star Wars Outlaws is going to be delayed too. So
Ubisoft, what's going on with them, man? Like, there's definitely problems at that studio.
I really think, unfortunately, don't get me wrong, I love Assassin's Creed and I love all the things that they're going to be doing with it.
But that's what's keeping them going.
Exactly. And in this case, I think they're devoting the attention to their number one, and it's pushing other things aside. I mean, it's business now. I mean, I'm not saying I agree with it, but they're going after the what makes the dollars for them right now.
Great. If this Skull and Bones keeps getting delayed, right? Normally when a game's delayed that much, it's obviously not a good thing. Mm-hmm. But the other side of the coin is, if a game is rushed, we can see how bad it is. You're better taking longer to complete and polish the game before bringing it out. Nintendo are notorious for it. Apparently, they spent a year polishing Tears of the Kingdom. A year for polishing. That's nuts. No one does that anymore. But they obviously do.
But here's the stupid thing. They announced Skull and Crossbones in 2013. That's when they first announced it.
I know what's coming next. Who's going to say it first?
Duke Nukem Forever.
I know. So you're like 10 years. First? Like, what? Star Citizen?
Yeah.
Well, at least you could play something, even if it was unplayable sometimes. You could still play it.
Well, you're lucky I didn't go into my news, because Star Citizen's just had a major update.
Save it for next week.
Oh, next week. Save it for next week.
if it'd only been delayed once or twice, I would be okay, maybe. But obviously, right. There's something seriously wrong there. I would rather they take longer, mate, but something's broken there fundamentally.
I think, and I could be wrong, but I think it's similar to what Nick just said. I think they realize that Sea of Thieves has gotten so much better over time that now they've got to do something else. Yeah, exactly. And I think they're afraid. So they have to come up with something that you can't do in Sea of Thieves and make it great. You can't just get away with photorealistic. You got to be able to, you know.
And the downsides we were just talking about the cinematics, and you maybe can't properly go on the islands and whatnot. Maybe they're realizing, shit, if we want to be better in Sea of Thieves, we need to do the photorealistic graphics, but also implement the Sea of Thieves stuff where we can go on islands and we can do quests and stuff. But the gunboat ship battles will be on point as well.
One of the things that I'm impressed with Sea of Thieves is it's kind of like, it's not photorealistic, but the graphics are done so well for what it is.
Oh yeah,
you don't care. You don't really care.
I'll tell you what Sea of Thieves is. What it's about Sea of Thieves, and this is, I don't know if it's the same for you, but for me, it's the only game I've ever played where when I get on it, it takes me to a place where I'm immersed in like the Caribbean sort of tropical environment, and it's, you do sort of feel like you're sort of immersed into that area when you're on that boat and you're with your friends. It's the only game that really captivates that whole environment around you, where we're going onto this island and you feel like you're running around an island. I was actually playing it today thinking, could you imagine this in VR? It would be really cool. Like, you would feel that you're on some really sunny time, like sunny place. It'd be really good.
That would be epic. Sea of Thieves wins for me. But again, if it ever gets cheap enough or Gray still get the pass, I'll get him to try out Skull and Bones and see how we go.
I think the way Skull and Bones is going to go down is if people don't see that they do the realistic graphics, that's one thing. But if people don't see that they've got all of the stuff that Sea of Thieves has got, then no one's going to bother with it.
Yeah, right. It's going to have to. They're going to have the quality as good as an Assassin's Creed game, but for Skull and Bones. And if they can't do that, yeah, I think it's not going to go very far. Yeah. I mean, they probably already lost money in the game. They've been working on it for so long. It's like it hasn't been paid back at all. Yeah. So they got to hope it does well enough to break even.
Right. Sod them. Let's move on.
Some big news, people. Big news. Microsoft Activision.
So big we put it at the end.
Done. No, we'll still get 25 minutes, man. The Microsoft Activision deal is finally done properly. The CMA relented, and the CMA in the UK relented, and they finally signed, sealed, delivered the contract. Activision Blizzard are now officially part of Microsoft.
Does that mean we're going to get another payment hike?
Well,
maybe.
I don't know. I mean, Game Pass is really good value. They will put all the Activision Blizzard games in, but because it took so long to complete the deal, they'll probably start trickling in early next year. And don't expect Modern Warfare 3 to be in there, because that's coming out in a week or something, or a bit nowish.
I feel like Modern Warfare and Call of Duties are just coming out every week now.
Well, they come out every year, they make a shit ton of money, mate.
I swear it's even quicker than that. But I was really pissed because I got that one and I played it and I got really into it. And then they brought another one out and I couldn't get the guns into my one unless I bought the other one.
The good thing they do with that is, at least with the Modern Warfare remake games they've been doing, is they tie into the multiplayer map, the large one, the Battle Royale Warzone. Yeah. And they'll keep a Warzone map around for 2-3 years and they'll tie Modern Warfare 1 and 2 and 3 each year into it. So there is some carry-on and continuations of your skins and your like charms and all that stuff as well.
It's annoying though, because you get into the war zone.
Of course it's annoying.
And if a new one's come out, you like say it's an older gun set, you can't use them guns in-game.
You can keep playing that though. They keep the servers on for years, man. There's old Call of Duty games you can still play. And they will go on the Game Pass first. What might happen though, they might do a Call of Duty every second year or third year and actually spend a lot of time like Battlefield does, properly polishing it and making it really, really good. And I hope they put that into Game Pass, because that is, but what games, like, let's discuss this briefly, what would they put in there? Activision have got a massive back catalog, right? They've got all the old Call of Duties. They've got Banjo-Kazooie, game, classic games like that going way back. They'll stick them in, right? But will they stick in the new Call of Duty next year? Will they stick in Diablo 4? Warcraft won't go in there. That's a subscription for them. So I wonder if they put everything or they don't.
They're not going to put everything in.
But they might put it in there, but it's just extra. They'll have a section for extra money on top, wouldn't they? Cheap.
But they do. If they do World of Warcraft or something like that, they're going to do a washed down version.
And how much longer can World of Warcraft go on?
Or they put
forever. It's been going forever.
Great, they put WoW in there, because thing is, what we sometimes forget, because we don't really play that game, is WoW comes with a game price attached to it, has a price attached to it, whatever it is, 30, 40, 50 pounds, right? And then you pay for the DLCs on top of that, and then you pay for a monthly membership. Yeah. Which that always pissed me off. If you pay a membership, you should get the game included for free, at least, if not the DLC. They should throw in WoW into it, free, as a Game Pass, but then you need to pay a subscription, and you need to pay for the DLCs. Well, that, you know, minimum.
I could see them doing that, but I'll give you, for instance, on Sniper Elite 5 that I play, and even the one before that, on Sniper Elite 5, it was available day one on Game Pass, but if you wanted the DLCs, or if you wanted some of the skins that they offered, blah, 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 that. You have to pay for it, correct?
That's fair. It should always just be the standard version of a game that's on Game Pass. I think that's how they make extra money. Like Starfield, the suckers that paid for it early, including Nick, for a few bloody extra days, honestly, and you got like a tiny bit of DLC later on. I'm like, nah, just the standard game. I'm happy with that. And then there we go.
Just quickly, Alcoholiday says World of Warcraft will go on forever because it's an awesome game. Plus, they afford to add decent content because it's a subscription game. That's what should happen to Elite Dangerous, man.
What do you think, Al? What do you think they should do then with WoW? Should Microsoft put WoW in the game free to the pass, and then you pay for your subscription still? How do you think that'll go? Because I'm curious.
I think that's what they're going to do.
Don't charge for the game, though. Put it in and charge for the DLCs and the subscription. But Call of Duty next year, we'll see what they do with that. I really hope they include that in the pass. Otherwise, when my pass runs out and 2.5 years, whatever, I wouldn't bother getting it again. There's got to be games that I will play.
Cool.
So, right. Just dump it, resubscribe,
and then don't forget, almost there, Nick, The Evil Within 2 is the free game, one of the free games on Epic this month. I played the first one, really good, similar to like Dead Space, Resident Evil. Mm. The second one I've not played, but it's free, man. It's absolutely free.
Cool. Right, the next thing up was going to say is... this week, I don't know if it's still on now, Trev. I don't know. Euro Truck Simulator 2. We have got a community playing this all the time. It's something that we go back to all the time. But you need to have all the maps, basically. So there's a discount on at the moment because they've brought out a new version DLC, which is, what's it called? The Baltics.
That one, the West Balkans is not
Balklands.
Discounted because it's just come out, mate. So I didn't buy that, but I bought all the other ones to save money on them. I've got all the other DLC.
Cool. So basically, once you've got that, you can get into Truckers MP, and then you can get on to, what's the other one called? Pro Mods. If anyone is interested in that, get them all downloaded and check out DLCs, and we'll go from there. We will be doing gaming nights on that as well. Right.
It's up to 70% off, by the way, the DLC, so get in there. You're not discussing that a little bit more? I thought we got like another 15, 20 minutes or something.
Oh, what about Euro Truck?
Yeah, because remember what happened? Did you tell people at the start? I think you did.
About what?
We recorded a couple of weeks ago.
That didn't happen.
A Euro Truck special, and Nick did.
Yeah, so we we did do a Euro Truck Simulator 2 special. We spoke very, very in depth about every truck, every company.
2 hours of my life.
Two and a half hours we spoke for.
It was two.
And I didn't have the footage. Gone. So if anyone's got the footage for that, I can put it out as another podcast. But if not, that's wasted. But we'll do it again another time. I am looking at different ways to change the podcast. It might be a name change. It could be that it goes once a month free and then sub for extra bonus material, which will be, that wouldn't be weekly, that'd be regularly all the time, but you'd get 4 episodes. But we don't know yet. Nothing's in stone yet. We're going to see what happens over the next couple of weeks. And to be, I'm not going to lie to everybody, to be honest, just to see how busy the Discord is, if people are still listening, you know, if you are a listener of the podcast and you've made it this far into the podcast, then you're probably dedicated. If this is you and you're listening right now, like, please just get into the Discord, drop a message, say, I listen to the podcast, because we get no feedback. We don't know who's listening, if anyone's listening. I'm told that we've got 4,000 downloads a month at the moment. But obviously the podcast's been off for a couple of weeks, so that might change a little bit. But we'll see what happens. I'm going to see what happens after this week, and then we're going to work out what happens. Just a Nice Guy says, I'm a live listener. Live listeners are even better.
I hope so.
Just to really quickly mention about the DLC and Euro Truck Simulator being cheaper, it ends on October 31st.
Okay,
so
cool.
It is, with exception of the latest DLC, West Balklands, everything is up to 70% off. I saved I paid £22 or something for all of it because I had about £4 credit.
What we do love as well, Just a Nice Guy, is if you are a listener to the podcast through Apple, through Spotify, through whatever, you can watch the live show recording. You can watch us on camera at Twitch / Extreme PC UK every Thursday, 9 o'clock UK time. So if anyone wants to come in, you can always put a question into the podcast room on Discord and then come into the show and you can get involved with the conversation about that game and talk to us and get in on there. That's what we like to do. And it's just about trying to make it busy and get people playing, jumping on Discord and getting groups going. But right, that pretty much brings us to the end of this month's podcast. Month's week? I'm confused myself. Hopefully this one's been recorded. I'm going to check it. If it doesn't go out, if it's not recorded, I'm going to cry and then these two will never speak to me ever again. But yeah, I'm going to try and do some streams as well. The thing is, I can't guarantee at the moment. The months of October, November, December for me are very, very busy. I've got a lot of stuff to do in these months. So it'll be really hard to have any kind of stream that is, apart from the podcast, which is every Thursday, that's regular in the daytimes. But if I do one, it'll be just random over the place. But if you see me go live, appreciate you coming in and chatting. But yeah, hold for the raid. Apart from that, just want to say thank you to everybody for sticking by the podcast, still being listeners, all the long-term listeners. If you're a Discord sub for us, I really appreciate that. Thank you to you guys. If you're a Twitch subscriber, really appreciate that as well. Thank you. And apart from that, yeah, we'll try and get more stuff going on in the Discord. And I will see you all in the next one. Cheers, everybody. It will go quiet for a little while. And then I'll put a raid on, so stick for the raid. And I'll see you on the next one. Cheers, people. Bye-bye.